listening to Rock, Pop, and Roll.
Now hold on. The moment of truth has finally come. Are you ready to do some stomping, baby? Are you ready on the bandstand? Detroit Breakdown!
Hey, it's Rock, Pop, and Roll. The Great Jay Giles Band live. Peter Wolf. Magic Dick on harp. Maybe the most underrated keyboard player in a rock band ever. How you doing? It's Rob in your podcast. So up front, I have a feeling. I think this podcast episode is going to wobble a little bit. Not meander, because that, you know, that can be construed as like slowness of pace. But we may be swerving on our road a little, because as I thought and then wrote a little to get my head around the idea that I wanted to talk about, which I thought about for a long time, it became anecdotes, these memories, some hard facts. There's facts in here, soft facts too. What's that all mean? it's the haze of life with some research. There may be some disagreements amongst us all. That's cool because I've wanted to do this for since I started the podcast and talk about the Jay Giles Band. And in light of the 2024 Rock and Roll Hall of Fame nominations coming out, and I knew Jay Giles wasn't going to be on there. I knew they weren't going to be on there. That's fine. Time has probably passed the Jay Giles Band, but I have this in my gut, in my heart, in my rock and roll soul. I kept coming back to the question. And my response, why? It's the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. It doesn't even matter, right? It's about what's on stage. It's what's live. It's what the recorded music of a band or an artist is. But to me, it's respect the Jay Giles Band. Why is, and I love them. I love me some Cheap Trick. Why is Cheap Trick in the Hall of Fame and the Jay Giles Band isn't? We could talk about that. I love them. Robin Zander, wow, one of the great vocalists, lead rock vocalists of all time. They had a brand, they had an image. If there's a band that is open for more other bands ever in the rock and roll history, I don't know who it would be besides Cheap Trick. They've got some hits, but so does the Jay Giles Band. And I don't want to say, well, Cheap Trick shouldn't be in there. Because they should. I love Cheap Trick. Should have been. Should be in there. It's like these are the two bands that I thought 20 years ago. Yeah, go ahead and put your Deep Purples in or put your Black Sabbaths in or put, well, you know. But these two bands need to be in there. Cheap Trick got in there. But the Jay Giles Band didn't. There's a lot of similarities. Live album. The Budokan album was the groundbreaking album for whatever reason for Cheap Trick. Dream Police was a huge single. Jay Giles had a huge single. They had a live album. They charted again. There was a comeback from Cheap Trick, The Flame. Wasn't there a comeback kind of for Jay Giles, Centerfold? How you doing? What's going on? I know that I have heard that the people who choose who should be nominated for the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, that, you know, that committee, those people have changed over the years, and that maybe everybody's moved on from the 70s and trying to move on from the 80s. And now we're into post 80s, post 90s. But let's just talk on Rock, Pop, and Roll about, even at the end of the podcast, if you still say, nope, Rob, you're wrong. That's fine. That's cool. I'm going to give you some quick, brief, insightful, fun, rock and roll infused background, And then a couple of the reasons why I think they're underrated. The J. Geils Band. This is Rock, Pop, and Roll. Thanks for finding us wherever you do find your podcast. Always. I think we're episode 43 or something like that. Something like that. If there was a more influential party band, I don't know who it was, J. Geils Band, and they were more a party band than superstars, or to some, not quite as influential enough to be considered for career honors. But I think those who know, both musicians and fans who dug their stuff, understand why Peter Wolf, the lead singer, is one of the great front men of all time, why the band matters. They have a history of upstaging headliners. I remember there was a Fenway Park gig with Aerosmith, and we'll talk about that. J. Geils caused a little bit of a good rock and roll time controversy. We'll talk about it on Rock, Pop, and Roll. I rocked the Blow Your Face Out live cassette in my brown Buick Skylark back in 1986, 87, somewhere in there. Ain't nothing but a house party. So, J. Geils, right? They're not in the Rock Hall of Fame. There's a credibility bump that comes with getting in there that translates probably into dollars for bands. Would have to think about the bands who have made it, and then they tour. Rock and Roll Hall of Fame members, Bon Jovi, Journey. You know, there's credibility there that translates to road dollars. Simply put, your career gets better. Doesn't matter for J. Geils Band, J. Geils. The band's namesake passed away. I don't think they're getting back together. You know, they continue to play live through the 2015. Peter Wolf continues to play live. The rock and the blues and the soul review that made them legendary, playing in college gymnasiums in the 70s. Roll into town, blow your face out, and roll out of town dirty in a good way.
You're listening to Rock, Pop, and Roll.
Seth Justman played keyboards. He's a guy, I said, underrated rock and roll keyboard player. That's my guy. Danny Klein was on bass for much of the run. They had their run 68 through 85 was when the band was together. They reformed a couple of times. And Justman, Klein, Magic Dick, Peter Wolf were all a part of that. J. Geils was until the last couple of years. He passed away in 2017. He didn't tour with them for their last tour. The ugliness of it. He filed a lawsuit against the other band members when he said planned a tour without him, using the band's name, his name. So he quit the group permanently. J. Geils Band was formed in 1967 in Worcester, Massachusetts. Geils had a band called Snoopy and the Sopwith Camels. Danny Klein was in that. Magic Dick was in that band. They were studying mechanical engineering at Worcester Polytechnic Institute in the mid-1960s. Three dudes at college. I mean, greasy rock and roll, right? But, man, they're bad dudes. They were smart dudes. In college, they moved to Boston, where they added a drummer, Stephen Joe Blad, who was with them for their success, and Peter Wolf. Geils then formed the J. Geils Blues Band. They had 11 albums between 1970 and 1985. You know, if you think about the 60s, blues bands, the Stones were a blues band. Paul Butterfield Blues Band, John Mayall's Blues Breakers, Clapton was a part of that, morphed into what the Allman Brothers did. ZZ Top, I would say blues band, always maybe, but especially at the beginning of their career. Aerosmith had that. I'd call them a rock and roll blues band. And they were from Boston, as was the J. Geils Band. And they were all doing this at the same time. There was this blues thing going on. And there was the J. Geils Band, who was right there with them in and the live shows. I'd say better than all of them. You know, the band, Jay Giles, they never had any hits. They did, but they didn't. But they did. I conflicted because I feel like as I talk about this, I'm not trying to whine. I'm not trying to say, you guys, I don't know. I'm trying to convince 15 people, 10 people, 5 people, 1 person to think a little differently about the band. Maybe you love them already, and maybe you're like, you're preaching to the choir, Rob. And I hope I am, because I need that choir to, I need to feel that it's out there. And whether or not the Jay Giles Band ever gets mentioned again with anything, that there's people who remember, who know, who have listened. Maybe you're young. Maybe like me. I wasn't around in 1970. I was 1971 to listen to the Jay Giles Band. They really weren't on AM radio, you know, WLS in Chicago a little bit. So maybe you're not old enough to be, maybe you're not 65 years old. Maybe you're 55 or 50 or 45 or 40 or whatever age you are, and you've discovered the Jay Giles Band, or however you have discovered them. And I don't care if anybody puts them in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Just remember them and think, you know, yeah, the Jay Giles Band. They had a couple of hits, and we can get to the hits. But before we get there, it's early. Early Jay Giles rock and roll. Come on! There's a song called Wait. I went down to the local bar to have a drink or two. They released several singles that were top 40 singles in the 70s. The first was 1972. Here's the live version of Looking for Love, which hit number 39 back in 72. I mean, that's the live version of, that's the live electricity that they brought to it. This is a studio cut of that. This was the hit. Somebody help me. I mean, again, number 39, whatever. Their third album, Bloodshot, was really their first breakthrough. It went to number 10 on the Billboard 200 album chart in 73. And they had a single that went up to number 30 that year. So again, not a big single. But they kept working it. A song called Give It To Me off that. Yeah, right. Off that Bloodshot album. Peter Wolf and the band. A little reggae. You got to give it to me. 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 They finally had a legit single in 1975 that was a hit. Got up to number 12. 75. It was the beginning of how they were moving into a different sound. Never thought about tomorrow. Seemed like a long time to come. How could I be so blind, baby? Not to see you were the one. Running through some of the radio songs of the of the Jay Giles Band. Let me find the chorus for that. Number 12. They started to embrace a bit of the new wave. 78 into 1980. And that was pretty evident on their Love Stinks album with a song called Come Back. Again, the lower regions at the top 40, a high of number 32 back in 1980, but it was that embrace of that sound that you could see where that's going to that centerfold sound, can't you? Again, let me let's find a chorus. I mean, it had that Rolling Stones Miss You disco four on the floor kind of sound. Yeah, that's going to the centerfold sound. This song, doing my research, I had no idea that one of their most iconic songs barely hit the top 40. Barely. And this is, one of the three songs that survives being played on rock and roll radio in 2024. So this was 1980, and even though the sound had, they'd updated what they sounded like, some of that's going to happen. You know, recording studios changed between 1972 and 1979 and 1980 when this album came out. There you go. So they followed that album up, the Jay Giles Band. We're talking about Jay Giles on Rock, Pop, and Roll. I'm not trying to convince anybody of anything. Just listen and say, or you'll turn it off. You may get, I'm with you. They probably have already. People turned it off. Man, I don't need to hear you talk about the Jay Giles Band. Shut up. Could have happened. Probably did. I would. Yeah, but if you're hanging with me, I hope you're hearing some sounds from Jay Giles, from that band that maybe you forgot him. Maybe you never knew him. That's also off of Love Stinks, Just Can't Wait. So they followed that album up with the album Freeze Frame. It was their pop hit, smashing that rock and roll glass ceiling to mass popularity and to no small measure to the power of MTV. So it was the Freeze Frame album, number one for 6 weeks on Billboard's Hot 100. That's the single was. The album reached number one in early 1982 for 4 weeks. The single Centerfold was number one for 6 weeks. And I think that's part of the lack of, or the perceived lack of respect for the band, is some people think that they were the Centerfold. That was it. That was Jay Giles' band. That was the thing. They hit, they were huge. Number one for 6 weeks with that single. They had a follow-up that people knew, and then they went away. So I think there's a perception, correct me in the comments if I'm wrong, but I think there's a perception that the Jay Giles Band was a 1980s one-hit wonder. Right? Maybe? One hit plus the follow-up to Centerfold. I don't know. I think that's part of it. I do. There's others who have said that. It's because I thought it and I started looking up one hit wonders just to see if Jay Giles would show up on it. And there was a couple of lists where that band did, and they weren't by the, you know, what's a one hit wonder? They have one song in the top 40, right? Some people say, well, they know they had a top 10 hit and then a lower reaches at the top 40. That's not my definition. And far, far from the Jay Giles band discography, because they had it. We've already heard top 40 hits. And then that number one song was everywhere. So you couldn't get away from it. Yeah. And then there was more. There was the centerfold, and then there was the follow-up that people heard. Freeze frame! Because of the momentum of the first song, Freeze Frame went to number 4 in 1982. So two huge hits off that album. And then they, and then they were forgotten. And I'm going to tell you why I think Rock, Pop, and Roll, the love we have for the Jay Giles band that I don't know that others share. I think there are a few. My late great friend Tom Smith and I drove around in those cars. He came out of a record store one time in Jackson, Michigan. I don't know if it was Warehouse Records. Where it was. It was not in a mall. It was just on a city street, and it was a cool record store / head shop. And we didn't have, I was 20 some years old. He was 20 some years old. We didn't have a lot of money. And he came out of there one time when he had bought the double cassette of Blow Your Face Out. I think it was a double cassette. Yeah. Yeah. I had to pay twice as much for it as you did a single cassette. So it was like $17 for this thing. I'm like, man, what are you doing? $17, man. We need $4 to get the Milwaukee's Best this Friday night. But we listened to that Blow Your Face Out on those cassette players in those cars with those crappy speakers and could feel what the Jay Giles band was bringing live. I remember that. That's part of the hazy memories that feed into why we're talking about what we're talking about today. That Freeze Frame album, the flip side to Freeze Frame, was a song called Flamethrower that had airplay on urban contemporary radio stations. They were black radio stations, especially in Detroit, where Detroit was the second home of the Boston band. But Detroit picked that up. That song, Flamethrower, and I do have Flamethrower for you to hear just a little bit of it. Flamethrower reached 25 on the Billboard Soul chart, number 12 on the U.S. Billboard Hot Dance Club Play. I heard it on radio because we were close enough to Detroit that I would hear Detroit, you know, you'd turn on the top 40 station when you were in Detroit just to check out what they were doing in the city, right? How does it sound different than the small town? And they were playing Flamethrower. That's right there with that Prince sound of the time. Five minutes of funk, white boy funk from Boston, from Peter Wolf and Jay Giles. So just another little facet to keep in mind of what the Jay Giles band was actually doing. Your perception is a different than the reality of what was out there and what was being heard. Band did have an official third and final single from the album that went to number 40. And I don't even know if I remember hearing it too much, called Angel in Blue. As Rock, Pop, and Roll, Rob with you, as always. They toured in 82. They were headliners. U2 was one of their opening acts. Did you know that? These are the facts, right? And now some stuff from the gut and from the heart, too. Both, right? Facts, heart. You need both. The band always considered Detroit its second home because of the popularity there. Did you know two of the three live albums that they recorded were recorded in Detroit? One at the Cinderella Ballroom, one at the Pine Knob Music Theater. Part of it was recorded in Detroit. Blow Your Face Out recorded at the Boston Garden and at Detroit's Cobo Arena. Cobo Arena, where Live Bullet was recorded. Kiss had their live album recorded there. Journey Captured was the album just before they released Escape with Don't Stop Believing and Who's Crying Now and Open Arms and Stone in Love. The album before that was recorded, most of it in Detroit at Cobo Arena, which does not exist anymore. The last release that they had with Peter Wolf in the band was recorded at that Pine Knob and released and had a single called I Do. Surfing off the momentum of the last album, and this was really the last hurrah. That's live. That's in Detroit, where they did their business. Jay Giles Band, just so you know, was nominated for induction into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in 2005, 2006, 2011, 2017, and 2018. So that's five times. And I'm not sure there's going to be a sixth one. In reality, I think the soul and the rock and roll heads know that the band was a top-rate R&B rock band that had a revival-like show, made a handful of Turn It Up, Dance on the Table albums. We know if we know, you know if you know. Peter Wolf said, quote, "I think our mission was to share the roots, to bring some awareness to people. Besides putting on hellified shows and giving 110% night after night," he says, "we really tried very hard to give awareness to artists that we worshipped and adored. We turned a lot of people on to John Lee Hooker. We turned a lot of people on to Smokey Robinson with First I Look at Her Purse," Peter Wolf. They played shows as either a headliner or opening. The Eagles, Petty and the Heartbreakers, with U2. I have a blog. It's on rockforward.wordpress.com. You can find everything you need to know about this podcast, past podcast episodes, and stuff I've written by going just to rockpopandroll.com, and you can find everything there. But the blog's on rockforward.wordpress.com. It's been there for years. And as of this week, the music blog had a post on there that was... One blog post that, above all others, the traffic to that, bots or not, is well above all the others. I'm not even sure when I posted this. I've written and posted video about Indiana music bits from a more national perspective, some stuff that's interesting to me, some stuff odd. This is where I write it down. Or maybe I just decided to share some goosebump inducing damn good rock and roll that was worth spending 4 minutes of your day on. So I would post a video there. And since I had started back in 2009, I had stopped working at a job in November of 2008. I worked for MS Communications and the great radio group that they were. Left there and just did my own thing for a few years. Built some websites, did some writing, some things I had always wanted to do. So I started this blog, just one post at a time, just because I wanted to, which is, kids, is the way to do it. It's not how do I make money, it's do what you love and see what comes. One post reigns as the most popular day after day and stretching for months at a time, surpassing the Roots Rock news updates, the concert previews, the album reviews, the show reviews, all the crap that I wrote. And it's a 10-minute, this is why it matters for the podcast. It's a 10-minute, three-song live video featuring the Jay Giles Band. This was the thing that is the most popular thing that I did in for like 10, 15 years was post this video, recorded with one camera close to the Fenway Park stage as they were opening for Aerosmith in August of 2010. Why was that? Why is this the most popular thing I ever posted? But right or wrong, not a huge band. They did pick up some not quite second generation fans with that centerfold freeze frame 1-2 punch. So there's a generation, the early 70s, mid 70s, and then there's the people who joined them for the radio stuff around 1980, 81, 82. So a couple of generations. The video I shared, it's a pretty clean side stage shot. Slightly above average sound, but not great. It was a big, unique setup at Fenway Park, and this was, you know, almost 15 years ago. So this was at the beginning of when bands were starting to use baseball stadiums a little bit more. They had in the 70s, early 80s, with some festivals, played them at some baseball stadiums, but this was individual artists coming and playing. They shared a bill, Jay Giles Band did, with Aerosmith. The three songs, it's vintage, interesting, from the soul kind of performance. It's those things, but why is it more traffic worthy than the other 300, 400 entries that I had, many of which took way more time than just putting a video on a blog? I have no idea. I have no idea, but I was like, that's good. I'm glad that there's this audience that maybe people do know. Maybe there's something there about Peter Wolf and the front man antics that he has. There's a great story. I love it. It was August 14th, 2010 was when this band, when the show was with these bands, Giles and Aerosmith, and the trashy rumor at the show was that Peter Wolf got into a heated argument with Steven Tyler before the show after Wolf was told that he couldn't take his moves and his romps onto the ramp that stretched into the crowd. Only Steven Tyler was allowed to use the ramp, they told Peter Wolf. Well, watch the video. Peter Wolf uses the ramp. Rock, pop, and roll, babies. Peter Wolf, by the way, Peter Wolf. Talk about Peter Wolf for a second, can we? Sure, we sure can. He rolls right along, all 135 pounds of him, or whatever he is. He'll be 74, probably by the time you hear this in March of 2024. He's reunited with the Jay Giles Band over last few years. The last time was an opening slot for one of the last Bob Seger tours. But Peter Wolf continues to play. He does his own stuff with his solo albums. He's had a couple of hits, Come As You Are, some stuff that sounds more country, some R&B. It's just Peter Wolf being Peter Wolf.
Come here, baby.
Wasting time.
I'm going down slow. Coming up with nothing, girl. I got nothing to show. And it feels like I'm wasting my time.
He recorded a number of albums after he went solo with, you know, varying degrees of non-success. A couple of hits. Midnight Souvenir is a great album. 2010, 2016, he released A Cure for Loneliness. This one, Wasting Time, is off a long line. I think if you want to go find one solo album that might resonate best for you, Midnight Souvenirs. It's like, that's the one that does him proud, or he does himself proud. R&B and rock done well. And There's a duet on there with Merle Haggard, so come on. The Rock, Pop, and Roller's another one off a long line called Break This Chain. A little more guile sounding. I mean, come on. That's good. Break this chain. Let's hear the chorus, Peter. Here we go. Sometimes I look the fool. Maybe this way I'm going to lose. And give myself a chance to choose. This time is the last time that I know. I'll never let it go. No way to show it. Break this chain. Maybe there's one that you hadn't heard before, maybe. I got into a discussion one time. I've told this story on another podcast recently, I think, not that long ago. Talked about great frontmen of all time. And I said, Peter Wolf is one of the great frontmen of all time. Is he one of the top five rock and roll frontmen of all time? Not the singer-songwriter, you know, Springsteen, Prince, Sly Stone model. But a front man can't be known for playing instruments, although you could, you know, Mick Jagger can play guitar, but they just sing, play some tambourine. You know, Davy Jones of the Monkees was a front man. Not that he's top five, but there's your front man. Or Robert Plant, great front man. Janis Joplin, Roger Daltrey. There's a lot. I said, here's what got me in trouble is I said, Peter Wolf belongs on the top five list. Maybe even said he was top three. Did I mention we were drinking at the time? I don't really drink now, but at the time I think I was. I know I was at a bar. I was watching music. I probably mentioned to them that he may be the most underrated frontman in all rock and roll history. I wasn't trying to start arguments. I was just trying to speak from what I felt. I think we agreed that Jagger was at the top. Then he got murky real quick. Freddie Mercury? Steven Tyler, Eddie Vedder, Roger Daltrey, somebody said Paul Rogers, Jim Morrison, Elvis, I think Elvis was mentioned. I did a podcast, episode 42, just the most recent one, underrated frontman John Waite in his career with the Babies and solo and a couple of albums with Bad English. I think that's where I talked about this. So if you've heard that episode, this is kind of that same theme. The Jay Giles Band had a short U.S. tour in 2012. They came back together. But without Jay Giles, had Duke Levine, who plays guitar for Peter Wolf, played on that tour, along with a different touring drummer. They were an opening act in 2013 for Bon Jovi. Then in the fall of 2014 through 2015, that's where we talked about Bob Seger and the Silver Bullet Band tour dates all across the U.S. and Canada. Their final tour, the summer of 2015, they played a show in, Detroit. I saw a video the other day of Peter Wolf with the Robert Irsay Band, which is a traveling. Robert Irsay is the owner of the Indianapolis Colts and collects music stuff, but a lot of guitars, and underwrites a band going around with his collection that tours around. This band performs in different cities, and that band has Mike Mills of REM, Tom Bukovac, who's a great session guitarist who's played with everybody, Kenny Aronoff plays drums, Mike Wanchek from Mellencamp's band plays guitar. So I watched a video of Peter Wolf with the Robert Irsay Band just from not that long ago. I still like watching Peter Wolf on stage. Said, what's he going to be, 74? I said, still got it. Still brings it. This is rock, pop, and roll. Peter Wolf said one time about getting into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, one would like to see it happen. But it is what it is, says Peter Wolf. It's sort of out of our control. So you hope it happens, but there's a lot of aspects that go on that are not in your control. So yeah, it'd be nice if it happened, but what else can I say? I think that's a great quote. It's going, whatever it is. But in the 1970s, I don't think there was a funkier, more rock and blues based bar band than the Jay Giles Band. The groove was that important thing, and the live show. that's the piece. I think that's the legacy. If you saw it, that's the thing that I would think would stick with you, was just that the way that they were live. The Jay Giles Band blew your face out. They didn't name that album for no reason. On the Ultimate Classic Rock website, they write, "Rock fans spend a lot of time talking about records, but live performance is the benchmark for a rock band. On stage, that's the Jay Giles Band that has truly excelled, always truly excelled. These guys put out 3 concert albums in 10 years. If they were reliably entertaining in the studio, they were transcendent on stage." I couldn't have said that any better. I'm sure rock. That just can't stop me. I think that's from Germany at some point. Ain't nothing but a house party, baby. It's always live. It's always great. Where'd Our Love Go? Off Blow Your Face Out. We talked about earlier about how some people might think that Jay Giles Band was like a one-hit wonder or one and two-hit wonder. I found on a website called Edged. It's called Edge Induced Cohesion. That's the name of the website. And they wrote, it's what I said. I thought this, and then I found this after thinking it, and it's always nice to hear somebody echo your thoughts, make things, get to say, "Oh yeah, somebody else thinks that." They wrote, "Since their most successful period in terms of sales and chart success was in the early 1980s, it is possible," they write, "that the Jay Giles Band is lumped in with other 1980s bands, and as a result is not given credit for its lengthy period of hard work as a band before their period of mass success." Yeah. NPR, on their website, Centerfold perfectly encapsulated the moment by crashing the new decade's charts with 1 foot in 80s pop and one still credibly lodged in their R&B roots. Centerfold did that for Jay Giles, the stardom it had sought. This is Rock, Pop, and Roll, my love, and if it's nothing else than that, that's okay with me, of the Jay Giles Band, and maybe why you should go to wherever you get your music and listen to you some Jay Giles Band. From its own website, the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame has written, "During the long years between the demise of the Butterfield Blues Band and Mitch Ryder's Detroit Wheels and the rise of Bruce Springsteen and Bob Seger and Tom Petty, the Jay Giles Band kept alive a joyful and a very American brand of R&B-based rock and roll." So to me, that sounds like an artist that could be an official member of a thing called the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. A band that kept the sound alive for the Pettys, the Springsteens, the Seegers, and by extension, the Mellencamps, Lucinda Williams, Casey Musgraves, and Struts, the St. Paul and the Broken Bones. I hear Jay Giles in some form, whether it's playing with abandoned live Struts vibe or the greasy R&B horses that is the St. Paul sound or the funky soulfulness of a rocker in the hands of Casey Musgraves. I hear it. Jay Giles Band carried that combination of traits, the sounds, the raucous live rock and roll shows, carried it forward in a time that needed dirty, throwback, gritty, inspirational rock and roll to get music, rock music, to that next step. That, to me, is the brilliance and the legacy of the Jay Giles Band.
Subscribe to Rock, Pop, and Roll wherever you get your podcast, and find all the episodes at rockpopandroll.com.
Rock, Pop, and Roll, as we end things, I've got one last fact, one last tune for you. Thanks for listening. If you want to find the podcast, of course, find it anywhere that you find podcasts, Spotify, iHeart, Apple. It's everywhere. I put it out there. I think I've looked, and it's every place I look, I can find it. So look up Rock, Pop, and Roll podcast. You've already done that. If you haven't subscribed, if you just bumped into us, subscribe, and you get alerted when we have a new one. Sometimes it's 2 months, sometimes it's 2 weeks. We do our best at the Rock, Pop, and Roll Factory. Tell a friend, man. Tell a friend. Give me some 5-star reviews. I don't know how algorithms work. I've got a lot to learn about a lot of things, and it's tough to keep up. If you know, if you're not 18 or 25 years old or 31 or whatever that is where it's innate, where you can just do stuff with digital, you got to learn it. You got to figure it out, and then you got to remember it. Damn, if that's not the easiest thing. So however the algorithms work, whatever I've read, do your best to help me. That's what I say. Rockpopandroll.com is where you go to find whatever you need to know. Thanks. Thanks for listening. One last fact. Peter Wolf, we told you, helped establish WBCN Radio, the legendary Boston rock radio station. His raps, his fast-talking patter. He was an all-night DJ, the Woofa Goofa. You hear that persona on stage with Jay Giles. Just another piece of that story. He was legendary in Boston, not just as a member of the Jay Giles band, but as a groundbreaking, when radio really mattered. He was an all-night DJ doing what he did.
This is Woofa Goofa, Mama Tupa, Hoppa Dupa, listening to WBCN FM 104.1 in Boston. And you know what WBCN means? You know what WBCN means? Woo! You got it, baby. Wolf's balls, cousin, never let it happen, Captain.
People listened to Peter Wolf and wanted to be on the radio, or wanted to be a jock, or wanted to listen to radio, or wanted to feel something like Peter Wolf made you feel. That's part of his legacy, damn it.
WBCN and Boston, Wolf, a goofy mama, two for 104.1, having a little fun. You got it, baby! Yeah, we're doing it. WBCN and Boston, give us a call. You know what I'm talking about.
Whoever you may be, wherever you may be sitting, wherever you are living. Thank you. Take care. Be good to each other. And we'll see you next time.
Listening to Rock, Pop, and Roll.